Thank you very much. Such a great honor. This evening, Srila Prabhupada has appeared through the heart of his very dear, intimate associate, Shamsundar Prabhu. Wherever there is history in ISKCON, there is Shamsundar Prabhu. There's some special guests tonight. Anil Agarwal Prabhu and Rishi Prabhu is here. Acha, and Nikunj Prabhu and Marite Mataji, who has come from New York City. Let us welcome them by loudly chanting the holy name. Shamsundar is the best friend of George Harrison. He made him a devotee in 1968 and was his very, very dear friend. And Shamsundar Prabhu was personally at his bedside for the last week of George Harrison's life, chanting the holy names and helping George to be chanting the names of the Lord at the time of his passing from this world. These are just a small drop from the ocean of his devotional service over the years. So we're very grateful and honored that he is here tonight. It is important that we are very eager to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. In fact, Srila Rupa Goswami explains that the price of pure devotional service is the intense eagerness to achieve it. Sometimes it is called transcendental greed. We see how people with greed in this world, they can do anything, risk anything. They can put everything else aside and work so hard just for some pleasure or some money or something. That intensity and more is required to achieve love of God. But that intensity to have Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada always encouraged a deeper sense of enthusiasm within his devotees. He would place wonderful challenges in front of them, sometimes impossible feats. Yes, he sent Shamsundar Prabhu to England to make the Beatles Krishna conscious, the most famous people in the entire world who were protected on all sides from people trying to get near them. And here are the shaved head, dhoti, coming to London with no money, didn't know anyone. But he made the Beatles Krishna conscious and got them to sing Hare Krishna on their records and induced millions of people to chant the holy names. Such a challenge. It was possible because they had faith. They had faith. Anything is possible for one who has faith. In Bible, Lord Jesus Christ, he declared, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, smallest of all seeds, you can tell the mountain to move into the ocean, and the mountain will move into the ocean. It is the power of God. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripatam aham bande si gurum dinadharanam. For one who has faith in mercy of Guru and Krishna, even layman can cross over the Himalayan mountains. Even dumb man can speak eloquent poetry. And even a blind man can see the very farthest stars in the sky. This sounds impossible, because it is. It is impossible. But Krishna is the absolute truth. He's the controller of all controllers. By his mere exhalation, he could create unlimited universes. By his mere inhalation, he could destroy the entire cosmic manifestation. When he performed his lila in this world, he was only a few days old when the gigantic Kechari, Rakshashi, witch, Putana, came to kill him. Put deadly poison enough to kill hundreds of grown men upon her body, went to feed Krishna the milk, and he sucked out her very life. When he was only 7 years old, he lifted the Govardhan Hill, Giriraj. It takes 8 hours to walk around that mountain today. And at the time of Krishna, it was far bigger. It was actually miles high, Giriraj. Pulasya Muni, he gave what you may call a benediction or a curse upon Govardhan, that every day Govardhan Hill will reduce in size one mustard seed. Now, my dear godbrother, Badri Narayan Prabhu, who's a mathematician by hobby, I guess, because I don't know anyone else who tried to figure out how many mustard seeds are stacked up for the last 5,000 years and what the size of a mustard seed is. But he did it, calculated. And he actually wrote to me, I forget the actual size, but it was hundreds of miles high. Hari Bol. It was a big mountain. And he lifted it with the little finger of his left hand 7 days and 7 nights effortlessly, smiling all the time. That is Krishna. Achintya Shakti. He has inconceivable potencies. There's nothing impossible for the creator of everything that exists. When he was just a smaller child, hardly three, four years old, his mother looked in his mouth and saw the entire cosmic universe within his mouth. His mouth did not get bigger in size, and the universe didn't get smaller in size. So how was it possible for the whole universe to fit in his little mouth? You can't even put a mango in your mouth. And yet you're thinking someday you will become God. Haribo. But this is Krishna. Inconceivable. And similarly, part of his inconceivable potency is he can empower his devotees to do wonderful things. And if we have that faith, then we can actually be instruments in the hands of God to do wonderful things. We could be fearless. But an important ingredient is our eagerness for Krishna. There's a very nice example that Srila Prabhupada tells us about how a person can become purified just by eagerly remembering Krishna. There was a thief, and he was wandering around looking for something to steal. So this thief happened to come across very, very great devotees discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. And he happened to hear what they were talking about. And one of the Vaishnavas was describing the beauty of Krishna. How Krishna has a complexion, Shyam Sundar, so beautiful. The complexion of the newly formed monsoon rain cloud. His hair is like crow's feathers that are fluttered over his shoulders and in his back. And he has a beautiful nose which looks like the newly blossomed sesame flower. and his lips are bright like the bimba fruit. His beautiful neck is shaped like a conch shell and has three elegant lines decorating it. His body is curved in three places, Tribhanga, Tribhanga Sundar. He has a very beautiful peacock feather decorating his hair. He's wearing a dhoti, which is brilliant gold like lightning. He has Vaijayantika Mala, a flower garland made of at least five different forest flowers that hangs below his knees. Very, very fragrant, so fragrant, nectarine, that there are swarms of bumblebees hovering around it. And Krishna is playing, he is holding his beautiful bamsi, or flute, to his lotus-like lips. And when he plays that flute, the love of his heart pours out of his mouth through the flute and pervades the entire atmosphere. It is not simply music. It is the supreme source of all music. Krishna's love coming out of his mouth through his flute to spread through the entire environment. And anyone who just allows that sound vibration to enter their heart becomes conquered by his love. The heart melts in transcendental ecstasy. Krishna was decorated by beautiful jewels by Mother Yashoda. He had ankle bells and armlets made of silver and gold, emeralds and rubies, diamonds. He described his earrings and his necklace, the Kostubamani, the most precious, elegant, and beautiful of all jewels hanging on his chest, on a necklace of precious diamonds, rubies, emeralds. And he was only a child of about 6 or 7 years old. Ah, the thief was very excited. He was listening, where is this child wearing all these jewels? And the devotee went on to explain how he's living very simple life as a cowherd boy. And during the day, he goes out with his friends into the pasture grounds and forests of Vrindavan. Ah, very, very, such an exciting opportunity. Such a challenge. It will be the simplest heist or robbery he had ever made. Such a treasury of jewels and gold on a little 7-year-old boy who's all alone without any guardians in the middle of the forest. I have to remember who this boy is, and I have to find him. So he began walking to Vrindavan. As he was walking to Vrindavan, his mind was fixed because he didn't want to forget. He was fixed on every single detail of the description of Krishna. His lotus eyes, his bluish complexion. He was a peacock feather. His name is Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. I don't want to forget that name, Krishna, Krishna. He was so eager. He was eager to see Krishna. If you were so eager to see Krishna, he would not be in this world. All his greed, all his hopes, all his aspirations, he was going to achieve in Krishna. And what was his aspiration? Money, wealth, that's all, nothing else. But he was absorbed in remembering the name, the form, the qualities, and the dress of Krishna. He reached Vrindavan. He was frantically, intensely searching for Krishna everywhere. Hari Bol, seek and ye shall find. What you search for in life is what you're going to get out of life eventually, either this life or the next. If you really search for Krishna, you're going to find Krishna. Yegatamam prapadyante tamstadaiva bhajam yaham. As you approach Krishna, he reveals himself to you. If you're searching for Krishna, you're going to get Krishna. If you're searching for anything of this world, you're going to get things of this world. He was searching for Krishna. Such eagerness. So, finally, he came into a clearing in the forest, and there was little Gopal standing all alone. He was so beautiful. This thief, who was not at all opposed to violence to fulfill his purpose, he didn't want to hurt this child. His every limb looked so soft, so delicate, like the newly grown leaves of the tamal tree. His heart melted. He said, "Are you Krishna?" And Krishna said, "Yes, I am Krishna." He said, "Please give me your jewels. I want all your jewels. Give me as a donation your jewels. If you don't give them, I'm going to take them. I don't want to hurt you. Just give me your jewels, little boy." Krishna said, "I'd like to give you my jewels, but my mother, Yashoda, she put these jewels on me only today. If I come home without these jewels, she will become very angry with me. She will punish me. She may not give me fresh butter. So many things she may do. I cannot give you these jewels." He said, "No, no, please, please, please give me those jewels. I need those jewels. I want those jewels." Krishna said, "I want to give them to you, but you don't know what my mother can do to me. I'm very fearful of Mother Yashoda. Therefore, I cannot give you these jewels." In this way, they were arguing about the jewels for a long time. And while they were arguing, he was literally begging Krishna. He was so much wanting from Krishna. He was so absorbed in Krishna that after some time, by Krishna's mercy, he became completely purified. He fell at Krishna's lotus feet and surrendered his life to him. And you know what Krishna did? Krishna gave him the Purushartha Shiromani. That means the crest jewel of all goals of life. Prema Pumartha Mahan. He gave him pure love, Krishna Prema. That man achieved the ultimate treasure, the most precious, valuable of all jewels, the jewel of love. That jewel can never be stolen by thieves, can never be withered by time, can never be eaten by moths. It is eternal. So Srila Prabhupada explains, what was this thief's qualification? He was enthusiastic and eager in his remembrance of Krishna, in his desire to be with Krishna. And he achieved the ultimate goal. Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one has all material desires, whether one desires liberation, or whether one has no material desires, if one simply approaches Krishna, eventually that person becomes purified of all desires and attains the crest jewel of all goals of life, pure love. But we must be eager. We must be seeking. In this world, everything can happen at any time to anyone. People who are idealistic, thinking life is going to go my way, they're the most miserable people in the world, because it simply doesn't. A happy person is a person who just adjusts to whatever comes his way and somehow or other sees an opportunity and a positive hope and continues with life. You may fail, you may lose everything. Even materialistic people, the people who don't give up hope, who see opportunities in every situation. It's like Prabhupada explained, what is a real Vaishya? He said, there's hardly any Vaishyas in the world today. But a real Vaishya is a person, you put him in any situation, anywhere, and somehow or other, he'll figure out a way to make money. And he will. Yes? Prabhupada gave example. You just put a person out in the forest and somehow or other he'll figure out how to collect the leaves and do something with the leaves and sell them and get some investment and then build something else and soon he owns the forest. And then he makes a national park and he pays everyone. Everyone has to pay to come in. But if you're actually a Vaishya, well, anywhere you are, where in any situation, even if you have nothing, you'll find something there to make a profit with. Little. You make a little profit, then you invest it, and then you use the investment, and so many build. So a devotee, we are spiritual capitalists in this sense. We want Krishna. And therefore, whatever situation we're in, we're always looking for the opportunity to find Krishna. Whether we're success or failure, victory, defeat, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, health, disease. Whether we're glorified or rebuked, whether popular or unpopular. Any situation. We never get discouraged. We're just looking for Krishna. Looking for the opportunity. And we know the opportunity is there. We just have to find it. Failure is the seed of success. We should see every situation in our life as a stepping stone to a higher platform. Not only materially, but spiritually especially. If we think that things going our way will make us happy, it won't, because if things won't always go your way. How many people in this room, things everywhere, every time in life went your way? We have unlimited reasons to be miserable, if that's our consciousness. But we have one reason to be happy under all circumstances. That the goal of life, the treasure of all treasures, is being revealed to us through our circumstances. We have to harmonize with the environment, harmonize our Krishna conscious desires, and look for the opportunity. Prabhupada used the example, some people see a half empty glass. If you see a half empty glass, you're not going to invest anything in it. So ultimately the water is going to evaporate and you're going to have nothing. Some people see a half full glass, so you're going to invest in that and ultimately it's going to be a full glass. What is the reality? The reality is your perception. Prabhupada was always positive. Shamsundar Prabhu, he can tell us stories for the next 10,000 years. And we won't even fall asleep for a moment. We will transcend hunger and thirst for all that time. He could tell us stories of Prabhupada's incredible enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness under any situation. When everybody else gives up, just like Juhu Land, yes? There was a whole legal battle and controversy and they lost everything. The devotees signed it over to the person who was trying to take it. And it's lost, it's finished, it's gone. Prabhupada said, no, Krishna will bring it. The devotees were shocked, yes? They couldn't believe it. He sent them, and somehow or other, he saw the opportunity. The Juhu Land, where that beautiful temple is, somehow or other, Prabhupada got the man to sign it. And then he was trying to take it away, and he was using all kinds of politicians, and after there was an investment made, this was his thing. He would get people that would give him investments, give him money, then he would sign it over to somebody else, and he would just keep cheating people. Just keep cheating people. So he tried to do that to Prabhupada, and he was expert, and he had politicians on his side, and he had big, big lawyers, he had the whole city on his side. Yes? And the devotees, Prabhupada went away for some time, and devotees were thinking, this is impossible. And their own lawyers, right, who were paid off by his lawyers, told devotees, just sign it over. It's impossible. You're just going to get in trouble doing this. So they signed it over. They lost all rights to it. So Prabhupada, he just saw, you know, Krishna wants it. We're going to get it. He didn't have anything. He went to the man, Prabhupada came and there was big prasad, right? And he brought this mystic yogi guru he had, because his guru said, don't ever be alone with that Swamiji. I'm going to stay with you at all times. So the devotees served him so much prasad. Yes, so much prasad. Prabhupada's expert, he just served them delicious prasad. Then he said, now you go and take rest. So you were taking rest. And of course, the guru ate the most prasad. So he was sound asleep. And the yogi was so satisfied, he was sleeping. And Prabhupada went in and woke him up and said, you know, sign the paper here. Sign it back to us. And he signed it back. Yes? Something like that? Signed it back. The guru woke up and he lost everything. What is this?
Then he died.
Yes. Anyway, Prabhupada just saw an opportunity for devotional service in any situation. He never saw darkness. He only saw light because he was looking for Krishna. Krishna Surya Sa Maya Hoya Andhakar. Maya is darkness. Krishna is light. Where there is light, there is no darkness. Darkness, ignorance, which is the cause of all suffering and confusion and doubt. But if we are remembering Krishna, Krishna is all light. Dispels all darkness, dispels all gloom, dispels all hopelessness. A devotee sees unlimited hope everywhere and in every situation in life because he has faith in Krishna. He has enthusiasm for Krishna. He sees every opportunity to remember Krishna, to help others, to be a servant. That is the secret of success in Krishna consciousness. Shyamasundar Prabhu is a model example of this faith. And I would like to ask him to impart to us from his transcendental treasury of memories some beautiful examples of how devotees with great faith and eagerness are willing to risk their lives for Krishna and for service to humanity. It was a somewhat long introduction to you, I'm sorry.
Hare Krishna. This past few days being in Bombay again has been a very intense period for me. I'm enjoying it so much I can't tell you. It seems like only yesterday we were sitting out here on the ground in front of Srinathji's house with Prabhupada, and there was six or eight of us devotees recently arrived in India. had no previous experience in this country. None of us had ever been here. Prabhupada set us down here in Bombay and said, only one thing. Spread Krishna consciousness throughout this whole country immediately. And now I come back 30 years later. Now there's a 9-story house on this property filled with devotees. Such a wonderful thing to see. In those days, very, very, very few people. And none of the, we had no Indian devotees. They were all from different countries in the West. The Indian people were surprised to see us. Those who could understand what Prabhupada was saying were very, very happy and overwhelmed to see us coming into Bombay. But we were very bewildered by the whole situation. We had only one guiding tenet, only one guiding thing, and that was Prabhupada's example. He had given us the encouragement and the courage, the spiritual greed that you were talking about, was awakened in us by seeing his example. Today, we saw at Krishna Chandra's house a copy of Prabhupada's diary that he kept before he left for America in 1965. He was in Bombay preparing to leave. Still, he had no fixed tickets or anything like that, but he was wandering around the town of Bombay trying to sell his books, a few books that he had printed. And he, in two places in that diary, he says, today I will go see Mr. Mafatlal. Now, you must have been a little boy at that time, maybe a few years old at most. So see how courageous Prabhupada was. I could just see him walking up the Mafatlal estate, walking up their road, opening that big iron gate, and a little man dressed in orange robes with no following, no one to talk to, no friends, walking around Bombay with a few books in a sack, trying to sell them so he could follow the example that his spiritual, follow the command that his spiritual master had given him. And if you meditate on what state of mind that is, that is the mind, a state of mind of pure courage, pure risk. Total risk. I've thrown off every other appointment. I've thrown off every other thing in my life but to carry out my spiritual master's request that I take this movement to the West. Bombay is the door to the West, the gateway to the West, so I will leave from here. And we've been traveling down memory lane all over Bombay here the last couple of days and seen some of the early examples of Prabhupada's courage here, and listening to this dear God brother tell me his story. You want to hear a courageous story? How he left his home in America as a teenager, practically, with no money, and only one thought in his mind: I must go in the world somewhere and find God. And how he struggled for years and years to cross over the Atlantic Ocean himself. And he was thrown in jail in many places in Turkey, these horrible places, in Greece, with no money, always hitchhiking, moving down the road, finding a new ride someplace, and then going another place, and not really knowing he was even going to India. But somehow or other, Krishna guided him in dreams and in meditations to go to India. And imagine in those days walking across Persia and Turkey to come in Pakistan and in Afghanistan to come finally to India, and knowing no one here, with no money, no contacts, no friends, how he struggled and lived in caves and ate only what he could find for food. And now here he is. So there's your perfect example of Krishna's courage right here, sitting with you. He's guiding you. Prabhupada was like that. There was nothing Prabhupada wouldn't risk. You could give Prabhupada the wildest idea in the world and he would say, okay, let's go do it. 70 years old. more than 70 years old. He was unafraid to attempt anything you could name to spread Krishna consciousness. One devotee asked me the other night, I'm the wrong person to ask, but he asked, what is the single most thing to make spiritual advancement? What is the single most thing? And without, to ask me, that's not very, very good to begin with, because I don't know what advancement is in spiritual life. But it came to my head, the very first thing is risk. What is the single most important ingredient to make spiritual advancement? I said immediately, risk. Yeah, risk. Risk is taking a chance. It's a gamble. It's throwing everything else out of the window, all other possibilities, and extending yourself out as far as you can physically go. Prabhupada himself set the example of risk, and he also said many times, and the reason I think that we all wound up here, these eight devotees, willing to undergo any kind of hardships and endeavors to spread Krishna consciousness in India, was that we began to see and experience the results of this risk. We had been already beginning to see that, yes, if you take risks for Krishna, automatically he has to come on the scene himself personally to help you. He has to. If you want to see magic, take risks for Krishna, because he makes all obstacles disappear. If you go little by little, maybe take notes and study the situation and maybe make some trial probe here or there, all right, that goes, but it goes very slowly. Rather, Prabhupada said, just jump into the flame. And Krishna has to put the fire out. He has to. He's promised you. Try it and see. So we had been trying this, and we saw that it really worked. So it became then a matter of, how much risk can I take? Please, let me take more risk. Some of our devotees were going off to Pakistan alone preaching, off to Africa alone preaching.